Greetings, Bible believers everywhere. Jesus said, go into all the world, and in these dangerous last days, we're trying to carry out that great commission where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When Jesus said every creature, he meant everybody, everywhere. The islands of the sea, the continents, preach to red, yellow, black and white, brown, preach to the poor, the weak, preach to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, Jesus continued, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so we send greetings to those of you that are listening to various stations in the eastern part of the United States of America. We're thankful for those of you that are listening across Western Europe, England, Scotland, Ireland, and Western France. We're thankful for those of you tuning in through Uganda and Kenya and various other places. Thank God that in these dangerous days, we can buy radio time and preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. As we have been sent to preach, I was ordained by the elders of the Ocean View Church of Christ, Ocean View, Delaware, a non-denominational church standing on no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. I was ordained to preach the gospel, and if I ever quit preaching the gospel, it's their duty to rescind my ordination. If I ever start compromising the gospel, it's the duty of my home elders to rescind my ordination. I was ordained to non-compromisingly, lovingly preach the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth in this world that is rapidly heading towards a Christless eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. A lot of preachers get all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up on things and on issues they know very little about. They're trying to figure out about the return of the Jews and the rebuilding of the temple, and they're trying to dwell with all of this biblical prophecy that they know virtually nothing about. We need to preach the gospel, not confuse the people with things we don't understand. Preach the truth, things we do understand, and bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And then whenever Jesus comes, whatever he does, however he plans to do it, what he plans to do with the saints, that's all his business anyway. I think a lot of preachers are going to be terribly upset and fooled and embarrassed when their little five-year this and seven-year that prophecy doesn't come true, when Jesus doesn't follow the schedule they've laid out for him. I think Jesus can follow his own schedule. And we need to follow the plan of Jesus, and that plan is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's three examples of conversion in Acts 8. We dealt with one last week, the conversion of the Samaritans. We have a straight-shooting preaching deacon, he's many times called, by the name of Philip. He went down after he finished his job that was given to him by assignment from the apostles. We find that Stephen was also one of these preaching servants. He was already deceased. He'd been stoned for having the courage to preach the truth. Many people will nearly stone you today or ridicule you if you preach the truth. If you preach something different, if you don't preach what they have laid out, if you don't preach what sounds good, why, you'll be practically stoned today. But I'd rather be stoned to the last bit of life is out of my body. I'd rather be killed than to compromise the gospel of Jesus. Well, Philip, this preaching servant, he went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them, and he was able to perform miracles because the apostles had laid hands on him. Now, later on, we find that in order for the ones that Philip healed, in order for the Holy Spirit to be passed on to those people so that they could perform miracles, speak in tongues, and so forth, the apostles had to come. You see, the apostles were the only ones that could lay hands on people and pass on these miraculous gifts by the power of God. And then the ones on whom the apostles laid their hands, namely, in this case, Philip, my, how powerful he was in preaching the everlasting gospel. He preached Christ unto the people. He performed miracles, and when he did, the people heeded what he preached. It says in Acts 8:12, but when they, that's the Samaritans, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What would happen today in many of our large churches? What would happen as we deal with many of our religious institutions today? What would happen if someone heard the gospel and was glad to receive the gospel and they said, I believe the gospel? What would they be told to do today? Well, I don't believe in 9 times out of 10 they'd be told to do what was told here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. What did they do when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God? They were not told to pray the sinner's prayer. As a matter of fact, nobody anywhere, when it comes to New Testament salvation, was ever told to pray the sinner's prayer. That's man-made, it's made up, it's an excuse, and it's a substitute. Admittedly, it is a substitute. One of the greatest past evangelists, one of the alleged greatest past evangelists of the past century, admitted that in apostolic days, when people believed the gospel and wanted to be saved, they were told to be baptized. But he admitted that they had changed that today and gotten away from it and exchanged it for the altar, the anxious seat, the mourner's bench, the sinner's prayer. But I'm saying let's go back beyond before the sinner's prayer, the mourner's bench, before the unscriptural sinner's prayer for salvation, nowhere found in any of these examples of conversion in Acts. And let's take the Bible example. When they believed, they were baptized, both men and women. I don't know why the devil has been so successful in stirring up modern American religious leaders on the subject of baptism. Many pastors will nearly go into a tirade when you mentioned baptism, when you mentioned the significance of baptism as it's mentioned in the Bible. They'll nearly turn every color in the rainbow, but what I want to do, whether it's on faith or grace or the Holy Spirit or sanctification or holiness or baptism or the second coming, I want to give word for word exactly what the Bible says, and that settles it. I don't have to explain it. Then we go right into another conversion. In the act of the Apostles, chapter 8, and verse 13. Now notice in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There was never a wait in biblical days for baptism. That in itself should teach people that we're not doing things right in America today. We prefer to wait on baptism, wait for the deacons, wait for the church, wait for Sunday, wait for warm weather. But there was no waiting. Show me where there was ever a wait for a baptismal service. In the New Testament, it was always the same hour of the day or even at midnight. Well, then, if that's not enough, look what we have here in the next verse. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. Do you remember this Simon? He was the fortune teller. He was the horoscope man. Shame on you if you read your horoscope every day. If you read your horoscope every day, I'll guarantee you, if you claim to be a Christian, God is jealous. Our God is a jealous God. And if you go to the horoscope to find out your future and not to God, I'll guarantee you, God is jealous. And you better get away from it or you'll give an account. Now it's popular today to go to witches and get your fortune told or to find out about the future. Why, in biblical days, they were not allowed to live. We can't, of course, kill them today, and we don't advocate killing them, and we're not going to kill them. But God's going to judge them, and He's not only going to judge the witches and the horoscope observers, and the fortune tellers, and the ones that listen to them. He's going to judge them as well as all sinners on the judgment day. And so here's a broadcast that calls an ace, a spade, and a spade. And so if you're in the business of reading the horoscope or following fortune tellers, repent. Get away from it. Get to God. Get your life cleaned up and go to God. Because God is a jealous God, and one day His jealousy is going to turn to wrath. But this fortune teller, Simon, this horoscope specialist, Simon, that bewitched the people, he believed also. Now listen to verse 13, Acts 8. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. My friends in the radio audience, are we going to be blind to clearly what the Bible is saying here? In Acts 2, they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, when they believed, they were baptized. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 13, when Simon believed, he was baptized. Why was he baptized? Why, bless your heart, to be saved. He had to be baptized to be saved, and so do you. You're saved by the grace of God. You're saved by His mercy when you obey the gospel. When you arise and are baptized and wash away your sins, God saves you by His grace and not until. And there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts, no matter how popular those shortcuts may be. And you'll look at television, you'll listen to the radio, and you'll hear people talk about praying the sinner's prayer. Why didn't Philip tell them to pray the sinner's prayer? Why didn't Philip tell them to pray that model sinner's prayer? Why wasn't Simon told to pray the sinner's prayer? Why weren't they told to pray the sinner's prayer on the day of Pentecost? Why wasn't anyone at any time ever told to pray the sinner's prayer in Acts? Why? Because it's not God's plan. It's God's plan to obey the gospel. It's God's plan to be saved, to hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ. Someone says, well, what must I do? Get out of denominationalism, find someone that takes the Bible only and is a Christian only and that will baptize you literally, exactly, for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit like the Bible says. And then go to where you can meet around the Lord's table every Lord's day and be with people who are simply trying to take the Bible only and be Christians only. Well, there was something very interesting that happened next here. There's two accounts of people believing and being baptized so far in Acts chapter 8. One, we have the conversion of the Samaritans that believed and were baptized. Simon believed, and he was baptized. And then the apostles came down when they heard the gospel was preached in Samaria. They came down and the apostles had to lay hands on them in order for the power to be passed on. You see, the ones on whom the apostles laid their hands couldn't pass it on, but the apostles had to come. And they laid their hands on the people and they received these miraculous powers and spoke with tongues and so forth. Then this man Simon backslid almost as quick as he became a Christian. He offered the apostles money so that whoever he laid hands on, they would receive this power. And the apostle Peter looked on that man when he said that, and he said, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I want to talk about this dressing down that Peter gave Simon in the next broadcast, but our time's gone again. My friends, tell people that a different broadcast, an old-fashioned, straight-shooting, non-denominational broadcast is on the air. Tell them when we're on the air and be a missionary, be a soul winner by spreading the gospel. Let's close with prayer. Father, as we close this broadcast, help the people to receive with meekness the engrafted word in order that they may be saved. Take the glory, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.